Welcome to Yarn Unspun, episode 2, Mutants and Stabby Art.
Yep.
Because everybody needs to get stabby once in a while. And I'm Heather.
I'm Danielle.
And we are the Pearly Shell Pirates, coming to you live from Pearly Shell.
And today Heather's going to talk about mutants.
I have a story. I have a storybook in my hands. You guys can see the storybook. It's awesome.
Yes.
And Danielle is stabbing things to get out her energy.
I don't have energy. No.
She has too much energy today, okay?
Oh.
So, okay. This is my great story. It's a great, great thing. This book, when I was 8 years old, I read this book. Oh, maybe 10. I don't know. I read this book in the library at some point. And I got it from
because
the school library.
The
I always call it
library.
I did anything with animals, and I always call it renting from the library because I was really bad at returning books. So I rented the book from the library, and I read it. I mentioned this book during our online class.
Okay, and automatically, as soon as we went live, Aria asked to go outside.
She knows we are live.
Okay, I'm going to take the puppy
okay,
out.
Okay, you take the puppy out because this is not serious at all. So, I rented this book from the library, and I mentioned it during one of our classes. And Jessica looked it up, found the book, because she's magical. It has to do with being in the Amish Mafia. So, our friend Jessica gave me the name of the book, and I was able to find it on abebooks.com and order it. And it has all these great pictures in it and a lot of words. So, we're not going to read the words because there's a lot of them. They had horses. I just wanted to be this girl and live on the ranch with the horses and with the sheep. So this book is about a little girl named Julie. And Julie lives on this ranch with merinos in Australia. There are millions of merinos in Australia. They had them. And one day they're out riding and they find this golden lamb. What had gotten me so hooked on this was that this was supposedly a true story. So I was like, well, was it the California Reds? Was it the California Variegated Mutants? What was this lamb? Because in my head, I had put this lamb in California, which evidently when you're 8 is the same as Australia. It's not, but whatever. I did remember, right, that she gets the lamb. She steals the lamb because they're going to kill it. And they take it away, and she lives with it in, she puts it into a cave, into a rock thing. And keeps it until one day they're sorting lambs and somebody finds it. And they actually, like, they take it out for these people to come when they muster the lambs. So, it turns out in the very back of the book, it says that this golden lamb is a luster mutant, which is just, like, crazy and so fun. Because that is, like, seriously, what is a luster mutant? And it says it's real. So I looked it up last night. Danielle and I work here for Fiber
Night
thing. And Danielle's back now.
I'm back. Both the puppies have gone potty. We need to practice that for the future.
That when we
Before we start?
No, we took them out before we start. She knows. I told you she knows when we're live.
Yes.
She does. She knows what, she also turns my computer off. I'm not joking. She's awful. She's a very smart 4-month-old puppy. So, we researched this book last night, and it turns out that Luster Mutant is still a thing, and they are still studying it to this day.
They're studying it in the sheep stations. That's the word I was looking for last night.
Right.
Was sheep stations, are what they're called, and they're actually like educational places where they study sheep.
Where all these different educational places that they study sheep, and they are studying it, and they have linked the gene. They have found it in Perrondale, Merino, Romney,
Suffolk.
They do not know what causes this. This causes a straight wool.
It looks a lot like Surrey alpaca.
Right. And some of them, if they only carry maybe one copy of the gene, nobody really knows. They actually have, they will have the straight wool and the high luster when they're born. And then they will grow into crimp. There are YouTube videos on it. It is so interesting. But then it start. Then I started thinking, of course, of all the mutated genes that we get that we don't, you know, that are not really. The word mutant is kind of wrong because really they're recessives that have been hiding because recessives are forever.
Yes.
Okay. They never go away because you can never fully test them out of your herd. We are rabbit breeders. We know this. Rabbits are like tiny sheep with a really fast turnover rate.
Right. So we get to play with a lot of recessives and have a stronger understanding of how long they stay recessive.
Right.
Because we can get 3 generations in 1 year.
Right. So this is really fascinating to me that, A, they wrote this book and it was so accurate for a child book, for a child's book.
It's because it was written in the 60s and they believe that, like, children could understand those type of things.
Right.
In the 60s, children were just, children still are just small adults. They understand a lot.
They totally understand this and they totally empathize with the little girl saving the lamb, and then it turns out to be valuable because they take it away to live with all the other little golden lambs. But
did you tell them why this came up in class?
Yes, because I started to. The California variegated mutants, which are, we know now as Rommeldale.
Colored Rommeldale.
Colored Rommeldale, and we don't call them mutant because people don't want that name.
Because mutant's not a nice name.
So I'm totally now naming a satin angora rabbit Luster Mutant.
Okay,
and Luster Mutant. And I'm going to tattoo it in the ear.
Mutant.
Yeah, because we tattoo them for shows. So it doesn't hurt them.
Identification purposes. So it's totally, just like ear tags and
so
cows.
Right, so I'm totally going to say Luster Mutant in a rabbit's ear because it would be really funny.
Mm-hmm.
One that I'm going to take to, like, win a lot of shows at, like a Best in Show winning rabbit.
Okay.
Uh-huh. So that will be my
new
thing.
Is this the one that's going to shoot sparkles and rainbows
it
from
is.
It?
It is. It's the one that you will actually be able to, like, have in the middle of the room, and it will serve
as like a disco ball.
Right. That's the goal. That's always my goal with satin angoras. But one really interesting thing, and this is what causes us to geek out, and this is like a geek out moment for me, is I swear the satinizing gene and everything, it has been researched to cause issues in mice and rats and cavies.
Right. It reduces the absorption rate of vitamin C.
Right. Well, now all of a sudden, they're finding also in these sheep, there's a few issues. They can have teeth that don't come in, which I find really interesting because vitamin C is tied to calcium absorption.
Yes.
And they also can have problems with lung development. So now I have to email these scientists in Australia who are studying, or New Zealand, one of those two places that's down under. And I'm going to ask them if they have tried vitamin C on their sheeps.
Okay. I also want to know if it's because they seem to be void for a good portion of them, void of crimp structure,
right,
like a Surrey alpaca. And I want to, like, know how closely related to Surrey is that gene. Have they done any cross-referencing in that? Because to me, with rabbits, there's no research ever done on rabbits.
Right.
Because there's no money in them. So we do a lot of cross research using research that's done on other livestock and seeing if it works for us.
Right.
So, you know, we've talked about vitamin B deficiency in some of the animals because, you know, our soil is not what it used to be, and the plants and materials don't have all the vitamins and nutrients anymore. And vitamin B is used in all manners of livestock, large stock, and just not thought of a lot in rabbits because rabbits have no quote-unquote value. You can even give your plants vitamin B.
You can give your plants when it too.
When you replant your plants, you should give them vitamin B. It makes them happy.
Right. So all of these things intersect. And why are we geeking out on that on a thing where we're talking about American farmers and we're supposed to be talking about all this other stuff? Because this directly relates. Because it is our small farmers that lock us into these traits and who actually really have the time to study a mutated sheep form.
And breed a mutated sheep form. They're able to give those sheep that have, may potentially have problems being in a large flock because of teeth development issues or needing more vitamins or minerals to keep them healthy, your small farmers, small flocks, are the ones who are able to give that to them, not the ones in New Zealand where they have 3,000 sheep per
and they're expecting
hectare or whatever it is.
Right. And like in this little book, you know, this little girl takes care of her sheep, her little lamb.
She combs it.
She combs it because they also felt. And in the book, it talks about that they are trying to develop this as a felting wool. And looking at the videos, it couldn't be anything else.
They felted the skin. Like, you could totally shear it off and make, like, humane pelts from it. Where it's like a pelt, but the animal never dies because it felts at the skin on them.
Yes, it's really interesting. Really cool boas and stuff like that.
Oh, yeah, totally.
You can do so many fiber thingies with it. And why were they called the golden lamb? This lamb was obviously not going to be bright gold as it's shown in the pictures here. It's actually because if this is truly a satinizing gene in sheep, it turns an animal yellowish or goldish. It has a goldish hue because the light refracts.
Like mother of pearl.
Right. The light refracts through the hollow hair shafts.
And sheep are not actually white.
No, most sheep are
like
not.
Like this wool that I am stabbing into a bird is not white. It's a crew. But this is the natural color. It comes off of the sheep.
Well, and in this, in Merino, which this was from Merino.
A
Merino thing.
They
are not white. They can be white. But we just were researching Merino for our class. And we found out that the best Merinos that have the finest micron are not white.
No. They're actually a crew. They're yellowy. Some of them are really yellow.
Right. So they would really be a goldish type baby.
For those of you watching the video, my instructions say to take my 18 inches and turn it into an egg.
So that's what she's doing.
So that's what I'm doing.
I'm taking pictures of it too. So if you're listening to the podcast, you can witness her stabbing the wool with a very sharp needle.
It is very sharp.
And not herself.
It's like 3 inches long.
It's 3 inches long. And she's taking this wool and she's stabbing it all over to make it an egg. It's going to turn into a bird at some point.
Put a bird on it.
It's going to be really cute and really a cute little bird of birds.
Like a robin type bird?
Right, but not like a regular robin, like an Eastern robin.
They call it a European robin.
European robin, Eastern. We are west of Europe, okay?
I'm just repeating what Chomsky calls it because, you know, hashtag Chomsky felting kits.
Right. Hashtag Chomsky felting kits. They're really fun.
They are like, seriously. And if this is something you think you'd like to give a try, because it's really not that hard and it's very therapeutic, go to the Pearly Shell page. We have them. We can either have them drop shipped to you or we'll just drop them in the mail.
They're very, because everybody needs to stab more things.
Right. This is the legal way to stab stuff. All other manners of stabbing,
we cannot condone.
Okay, but this is.
We also cannot be responsible for any actions or injuries caused by the stabbing of the wool,
right?
Or the fact that you will now need more wool, and that's the thing.
Right, because my name's Danielle. I'm an addict.
Hi, my name's Heather, and I'm an addict. How many days have you been wool free, Danielle?
None.
Me either. Feels good to say that, doesn't it?
Does. It does. It's slightly guilty that it hasn't been a day wool-free. I don't know why there's guilt there, but there shouldn't
there's
be.
No
I probably
guilt.
Need to look into some therapy for my guilt I feel for,
for wooling all the time?
All the time.
All the wooling, because that's what we do. We wool.
So my husband finally bought me wool. He doesn't listen to our podcast yet. He will eventually listen to this one, I'm sure.
What was his response? Oh, God, you're everywhere, basically.
Yes, that was his response last night. I'm just like, Heather and I started a podcast, like a real podcast. We are like going to be on iTunes and have a real, we have a real podcast. And his response was kind of like, oh, God. I don't think he used that word because he doesn't ever use God in that manner.
But he meant it.
But he, yeah, it was kind of like, oh, geez.
Uh-huh.
Or something like that. It was kind of almost like fear. I don't know why that is. Yeah. He finally, after nearly 15 years of marriage, and, you know, he has... I don't want anybody to ever think that Dusty has not enabled any step of this ever. He has helped me load whole truckloads of wool into the truck. He has driven me to the shearer's house. He has...
Well,
he
has, wait. That is not true. You drive to the shearer's house, and you say, we're just buying one bag of wool. And then you end up... And then he's like, so can we take the Fiat? And you're like, well... You know, it might
get Heather crowded bought a whole kids. Bunch of wool, too.
Right, and it might be crowded with the kids. So then he drives the truck, and then he gets, and then they just start throwing trash bags of wool into the truck.
But at no point does he say, whoa.
No, because half the time it's my wool, and you're like, or you just say it's all my wool.
Right, because right.
Or you go, well, I don't know what happened. Corey just put a whole bunch of wool in here.
He has actually financed sheep in the past, though.
He likes the sheep part.
He has. He promised me someday I'll have sheep again. So, you know, I think just him saying he likes sheep is the equivalent of him saying I like wool.
Right. Sure.
We're
just going to say he likes it, okay? He's
the one who taught me to crochet. So we can blame all of this on him.
I don't really think you can, but you can sure go ahead and try to pass that blame on. I think it's a genetic thing. You know, only one of the three kids has it.
Yeah, the other two seem to not have it.
The one really likes it.
The one can spin really well, but
it's
not cool enough.
No, just the one has the lanolin.
I think this looks like an egg.
I think so, too. It's very egg-like.
It's egg-like. So I'm going to set it aside because that's probably my game.
What do your directions say?
I don't know. I'm going to read the next step.
Okay.
Yep, that's my directions. Next, create a ball in the same manner using a 6-inch piece of wool. Leave 1 inch of wool at the end that's not felted. This will be the bird's head. Oh. Use the loose wool to attach the head to the body slightly above the center point on the larger end of the egg.
That is really hard.
Use additional wool to secure it all the way around the neck.
It's the egg. It's an egg. Okay. So then I started thinking about getting back on topic, staying on target here.
Jeez.
I started thinking about all the different kinds of sheep that were actually the mutated genes and how, like, Robert Bakewell had all the sheep breeds and he made all the mutated genes happen.
Right, which most of you have not done our classes, but Robert Bakewell of Bakewell Cookies.
You're right, we made that part up, but it
we
works.
Totally made that part up.
That's why we can remember his name.
Yep, because we have cookies. To use memory hooks.
Right. So he created, like, all the long wools. All the long wool sheep in the whole world, not really
in England.
In England,
he
basically came from him.
A lot of them, a good number of them.
He was instrumental in doing that, I am sure. We need to have a disclaimer. Our disclaimer is our history is never quite correct.
We look at Wikipedia, which we know that is correct.
We do all sorts
of research. All the time.
Right.
Wikipedia is always correct. And,
We do all sorts of research.
We do research.
We change it in our heads slightly.
Right. We've researched it. We've looked into it. Sometimes our history is more colorful than real history.
Or we just embellish it. We embellish it slightly. But Robert Bakewell.
Only slightly, huh?
Yeah. Robert Bakewell was instrumental in all these small farms that are instrumental in changing these little things. And then I started wondering, I still have always wondered whether Blueface Lester are actually Lustered. And because there are sheep breeds that have the luster. And now I really want
to
know.
Like Cormo is shinier than Merino.
Right. But then think about, like, so it's been found in Romney. Is that somehow related? Because Romney were little marsh sheep. So it's sheep that were born without any teeth.
In the marshes would die.
They would have not survived. I don't know. There's a huge thing. And now we have to know, why is it straight? Is it, and how many wool genes are there? Does anybody know how many wool genes there are? Because I swear there's more than one wool gene. there's all sorts of things that make that secondary follicle grow. Well, and there's
definitely modifiers in wool jeans.
Right.
Because you can modify the length of wool, the terminal length of wool. And the
crimp structure and everything else.
There's a lot of modifications in that. Sort of like horses have a lot of modifications on the paint gene and the spotting gene.
Right. There's all sorts of things. I don't know. So we have to figure all this out. And I'm still totally geeking out on the fact that there are Luster mutants out there.
Luster somewhere. Mutants are...
Luster mutants. And they're a thing.
They are a real thing.
And we kind of need one. Because now we haven't ever spun Luster Mutant. Well, or felted with it.
Let's get Australia to send us some.
I think we have to go there.
Well, we do need to go there at some point. Because...
Which brings us to another point today.
Hmm.
It's Steve Irwin's 57th birthday.
He's not dead.
And he is not dead.
Okay. We call this crazy or whatever. You know, he is just on a grand adventure.
He's not dead. I did text somebody this morning, and then I called Danielle, and I said the random fact of the day is I think there is a good chance that we took Steve Irwin's death harder than his family. Or at least coping with it.
Yeah,
with it, because we still have not coped with the fact that he's not on a grand adventure. So, you know... That's
you sure
why
they don't think he's still just on a grand adventure?
No, I think that there was a lot of closure. The last interview that I watched part of before I had to turn it off because it was interfering with my sense of delusionment that he's on a grand adventure.
I hate when, like, reality checks in face the fact that...
I had to turn it off and not watch her anymore. She's...
Bindi?
No, it was his Terry. Wife. His wife, Terry, seemed very, you know, like... peaceful of talking about him, and it was not in the present day form like ours. That is why we have not gone to Australia yet. It's because we have to, money aside too.
Yeah.
And because we have to actually, you know,
face reality.
Reality, because we'd have to go to the zoo, and they probably have a memorial. Yes. And they probably have like a memorial thing. Saying, you know, that not that he's on a grand adventure. So we have to come to terms with this. It's a 24-hour flight or something like that. We have a long time. And I'm sure we can employ a counselor. Or somebody.
Because we might need therapy on
this. I don't know why.
I don't know.
I mean, who do we need therapy about? Nobody.
Mm-hmm.
There's no therapy needed in life.
We are not therapy shaming by any stretch of the imagination.
No, we deal with our therapy by stabbing things. Only wool.
Yeah. Not therapy shaming by any stretch of the imagination. No. We're just in denial that we may need therapy.
We may need therapy about a person we never met.
Right.
Uh-huh.
Maria's going to watch this. She's going to be like, oh, geez.
She was our therapist, but she quit.
Kind of, she quit rabbits, so
therefore she quit us. She didn't really, she still stays in contact. I think more to follow what we're doing in kind of a sick, twisted way than anything else.
I think we're a science experiment, and she's actually writing a paper about us.
A book?
Uh-huh.
Yeah, there's a book going on.
Okay, yeah. Midway up the body, I attach a head.
That's kind of a round head. She can't do circles.
I don't like circles. They don't always look right to me.
It's okay. It's okay that she can't do circles. There's no judging.
Nothing is perfectly round in nature.
No, not at all. I'm sure everything. But yeah.
No, the apples aren't round.
Apples are not supposed to be round.
Oranges are not perfectly round.
Okay.
Have you ever bought those at the grocery store?
A perfectly round orange?
Yep.
I've never used a measuring thingy to figure it out. No.
In my head, they're not perfectly round. There you go.
Okay. So your head is not perfectly round.
Nope.
Nothing that you do is perfectly round. It's okay. There's nothing wrong with that. I'm over here geeking out over Luster Sheep. I have nowhere to talk at all.
At all.
So we did our spring tour today.
Yeah, we're doing a spring tour.
Yep, so if you want to see, you know...
See us in person. We probably won't be podcasting in person. We might. You never know.
You never know.
You never know.
How slow any of the fiber shows are.
We will be at several fiber shows.
We are, yes. We are going to be at several Fiber shows starting March 30th is our first one.
Yep.
And that is in Redmond, Oregon, which is on the wrong side of the mountains.
Some people say that's the right side.
Well, in my head, it's the wrong side because it's cold and snows over there.
It's dry.
And dry during the summer and hot during the summer. She is making
a bird.
A bird.
It's a bird. It's a robin.
It's a European robin.
An Easter egg robin?
An Eastern robin is what I keep wanting to call it. A European robin. So we are going to be in Redmond, Oregon, March 30th at the High Desert Wool Growers. We are then going to come home for like 10 days, 11 days. And then we are going to be up at the Puyallup Spring Fair for 4 days from 10 a.m. to 10 p.m. I suggest you visit with us late at night. That's when we are the most fun.
Oh my goodness. We are so totally rummy by then.
It's awesome. It's like the best fiber show ever. It is in the Spring Fair area.
Yep.
So you have to pay to get in, and then you can buy your scones because that's what the Puyallup Fair is famous for. They do not have taffy during the Spring Fair, which is wrong, but they do have scones. So you can buy your scones and you can come by our booth and talk to us and goof off. And then after that, we are in Scio, Oregon for 1 day.
1 day on Sunday.
At the Bethlehem Festival. And then we are not off in June. That would be wrong.
Yep.
But in July 5th.
Are we off in June?
No. Well, we don't have a fiber festival. We have a rabbit show, though, in June.
We do have a
local rabbit
what
show.
What about that one up in Seattle? When's that one?
What one up in Seattle?
The one we're still waiting on paperwork for.
There's one up in Seattle.
You know, in a stadium.
That's in August or July.
Okay.
That's in July. Okay, so then we are at Black Sheep Gathering.
In July.
July 5th, 6th, and 7th. Which that one's always a lot of fun. And then we go to the Mariners.
Yeah.
Stadium thing in July. And I think that's like July 23rd. I'll have to double check that.
For Stitch and Pitch. Yeah,
so
right.
We are going to be all over the place. It's going to be a great time. And we are always dressed like pirates in some version sometimes, unless it's really hot, and then we don't wear our corsets because
the corsets get hot, and the sweat
really
runs
hot
down your back, and there's no way for your skin to breathe.
It's bad. Otherwise, we are in corsets, and we have a lot of fun, and we have all sorts of fun games planned. We also are planning our first field trips right now, and we're going to go see because everybody's going to have baby sheep and lambs and goats pretty soon.
They must already have started.
Yeah, but they aren't real until we see them.
If you guys could see the look I just gave her, I was like, you have got to be freaking kidding me. They're not alive until we see them.
Nope.
I have seen their pictures on Facebook. They are pretty alive.
And in March, I'm hoping that we get to go to a sheeper person.
Okay, like maybe when we're in
Redmond. We get to go there and we can see the baby sheeps in person.
Okay.
And hopefully like take one home and pet it. I don't really think we could take
she
one
won't
home.
Let one home go home with us.
We'd
She's
have to
a responsible
two.
Shepherd and she would say you have to take two. Gosh, that sounds like when we went and picked out puppies.
So there will be sheep and puppies. Not really.
No,
there will not
no.
be sheep.
No, I'm saying the responsible words.
She says that now.
Oh, gosh.
There was a time. Okay, this is how bad it gets, though. We have to be careful where we go. So I went to pick up some rabbits that I had sold to a 4-H'er that then was getting out of 4-H because she aged out.
Which they do. And then they go to college, which is wonderful.
She was very responsible, and she sold me the rabbits back, and she was a great home. So we went over to this place to pick up these rabbits. And they're right next to the horse field. And we're in the Fiat that day, thank God. Because in this horse field was this cute little Shetland pony.
Really nice Shetland pony.
Really nice Shetland pony. And I'm like, oh, look at how nice the horses are. Because the horses are like breathing down our necks, you know, wanting attention.
And wanting food.
Being horses.
The fat horses who wanted hay because, you know, hay tastes better.
Tastes better. And, of course, I was feeding them hay because I'm nice and, you know, whatever. So then they were all over there, and this is really cute little Shetland pony, and they're like, that's so-and-so, and her, and she's for sale. And I was like, oh, that's nice. And then I was like, does she cart or what? I was being polite. That's what I'm going to say. They're like, yeah, her cart's included, and she carts, and she's really great at it. And I'm like, oh my gosh, I've always wanted a carting pony. And then pretty soon we're like, so how much is she? And then we're over looking at the cart. And then I'm like, and then I was like, well, we only have the Fiat. She will not fit. You could fit a lot of things in the Fiat. She would not have fit in the Fiat. And
like, then I was we like, could fit 12 full-size rabbits like, in
well,
a Fiat.
We could just pony her home. And Danielle's like, we can't. And then Danielle and I drove away after the person says, oh, we'll deliver her.
We will deliver
her. We were
literally
figuring out how to pay for this pony. Like, it was like a two-hour conversation in the car and a stop at Sonic for cherry limeade discussion over how we were going to pay for this pony and where can we board the pony and what can we do with the pony. And think about how nice it would be for Dalton to have the pony, but it wouldn't really be Dalton's pony. It would be our pony. Could we use the pony in parades?
Okay, I've made a bird. It looks kind of like a duck. We're just going to go with that, right?
It's very cute.
Uh-huh.
It's very cute. It was...
I did it the way it said, but I think
it will be good.
It's weird.
I think it will be good.
I think it's wrong. So anyways, it doesn't look like they're pictures. That's okay. None of my birds do.
It is your bird, and therefore it's perfect.
Okay, so now I need glue. It says, to make the beak, place a small amount of glue on your fingertips. Twist the end of the black fiber into a point. Allow the glue to dry.
Okay, there's glue over there. I'll get it. So... That's what happens. So I want you guys to
volunteer. Honestly, that step should be first in this.
Because now you're going to have glue on your fingers?
Well, and now I have to wait for the glue to dry before I can continue.
It's going
to
dry in just a couple seconds.
Nuh-uh.
Gosh. But that is what happens. So I want
just
you guys...
Just twist the top off and I'll just stick my finger in the bottle.
That's what I'm going to do. I want you guys to know that she's all like, no, we can't get sheep because it's irresponsible. Until we go over to this person's house and see all
you
the
lambs. You have to tip the glue for me to get the glue on my finger.
And so we're going to go see all these lambs. And then that next week it'll be all like, so we only brought home 3. And it will be bad.
Okay, so let's step back. Last year there was a chicken-related incident.
That was kind of both of our faults.
We were
being responsible in getting chicken food or something. For my chickens. I have chickens.
Okay. No, it was stuff for the button quail I irresponsibly
oh,
brought
home. Oh, that's
right.
Because there was a button quail related incident. Never get those, by the way. That's a whole other story.
That's a whole other story. But we're just... I have now glue all over my fingers. This is...
Excellent.
Excellent is right.
Well, so we went in there, and there was these little headless chickens, neckless chickens.
Naked neck chickens.
They had no feathers.
Where they're my favorite, feathers? Okay? I like the deformed chickens, the mutants.
Right, the mutated chickens.
Those are my favorite.
So, and there was one in there, and then they were on sale.
They were 50% off because they were getting ugly, as chickens do.
And they were a little pecked.
Yes.
And so I'm like, hey, look at those chickens. And Danielle is like, well, I'll take those 3 chickens. And I'm like,
I'll take those 3 chickens. I'll build them a coop.
I'll build them a coop and they can live in my backyard. And the lady, seeing a sucker,
told us, she goes, well, do you just want the 3? I'm putting glue inside my finger.
They were
things.
Turkins, that's Kelly. Headless chickens.
Naked
okay?
necks.
Naked neck turk duck and
They are a turkey stuffed with a duck stuffed with a chicken. Turduckins.
Right. That's what they are.
Okay. Turduckins, Kelly. Turduckins.
So.
Okay. So anyways. So, Dusty, mind you, Dusty, this wonderful man who
supports her, you know,
in like crazy amounts of stuff. He has financed rabbits. He has, you know, he goes, no,
you need to get rid of the chickens.
It was like the most adamant no I have ever heard out of his mouth, ever, forever. He made me get rid of my chickens.
There are five of them, by the way, which we didn't get to that.
Right. Okay, wait. Because you know, in Portland, you can own 3 chickens in city limits. This right. is my justification.
So even though she doesn't actually live in Portland.
Right. I'm just like, well, if the people in Portland can have 3 chickens, then I can have 3 chickens. Mm-hmm. I don't even live in city limits. But if the people who live in the big city of Portland can have 3 chickens, then that means I can have 3 chickens, right? Anybody following me on this? This is totally legit, right? So, you know, I'm like, well, nobody will care. It's only 3 chickens. We'll get fresh eggs. I miss my having chickens, you know. So I get home and I got the most adamant, flat out. He was like, what do you plan on doing with those? And I'm like, well, I'm just going to build a little coop, you know, so and so forth. Oh, wait. So those 3 chickens, the lady went in the back and she goes, do you want more?
And I'm like, no.
I'm like, no, I'm fine with the 3. You don't need to order me any more chickens. And she goes, well, the reason why I ask is I have 2 more in the back that have been slightly pecked. I've been they're medicated and taken care of, and their feathers are starting to grow back, so on and so forth. Do you want them? I will discount them even more, 75% off. So then I did the math and it was like, buy 2 chickens, get 3 free.
So
my 3 chickens turned into 5 chickens, which
may have been why Dusty went over the edge. We're just gonna say that.
So I told him that the lady, like, gave me the chickens.
When in doubt, they gave you the animal.
Right. We all learned that because
as we were children.
As children, we found it as a stray. Somebody gave it to you.
It was
you
walking down the road, and it literally came running up and jumped into my backpack.
You found it at the bushes at the Shopko.
Right.
There was a gray cat that we told a parent that too.
Really, I can't imagine. I've never done such a thing.
Right. So, that we actually got the kitten from somebody.
I'm sure.
Oh yeah,
I've never done such a thing.
Shopko parking lot.
So the chickens had to go away,
which I did find them a fabulous home,
and they are living very happily. But I'm just saying, this could be very dangerous. That I am we are adamant. We have been meaning to go over and see the lambs for years, and we are going to go do this that day.
We are not getting sheep, okay? Because Dusty said no on the chickens.
Dusty doesn't live at my house. I have nobody to tell me no.
You want to make a bet?
No, because she's the worst. She's talking about my mom, and my mom is the worst person that can. She likes the animals more than we do. She just doesn't admit it. Plus, she has childhood trauma from not being allowed to have a goat for 4-H. So, therefore, she never got the no thing down. Why do you think I have all the animals?
I brought sheep home for 4-H, and my grandma said yes, right over the top of whatever my mom said.
You know, Shelley, I never used the excuse it followed me home, because that always seemed wrong. It was always like, I found it underneath a bush, starving to death.
At the Shopko.
You know, it was sad and lonely. And it needed me, or it's the only one. I was the only one who could touch it. That was actually true a lot. So we are going to go all over the place. We're going to see things, and we're going to find out about Luster Mutants more, because we have to.
It's because like the law.
It's now a thing.
Okay, I made a pointy piece. It's not dry, and I refuse to wait any longer.
She's just going to go with it.
So I'm going to attach it to the bird's face, which is the small ball.
The small ball gets the thing.
It's a very long beak. It says something about trimming it.
Right.
Which we will do later.
We'll do later. Is it supposed to have the...
Yes.
Okay.
The picture says so.
Okay, good. Good. Yeah, it's great.
She's questioning my...
I am not questioning your stab ability. I don't do needle felting, by the way, very well or at all.
It's flopping around like... weird.
It looks like a mask. Like the man in the Iron Mask. like one of those masks they used in like the 16th century, or that's probably very wrong.
Like a death mask?
Kind of. Weirdly.
Well, we can make it a death mask bird.
No, we're going to make it a cute little Eastern European robin. European robin.
Gotta get that name right.
I cannot get that name right. All right. We have chatted a long time, and we should go as Danielle's doing this. We're going to keep this going on Facebook so you guys can see her continue to stab this poor little bird.
Into existence.
Into existence, because otherwise it's just going to haunt your dreams at this point.
Ooh.
But we're going to end the podcast and,
haunt your dreams.
And talk to you later, because we're going to do a whole bunch of these.
We'll post pictures.
We will post pictures. I think our next podcast, we're going to have like a show and tell day, a share and tell.
A share and tell.
Yeah, ooh. Like our favorite things, our favorite wools, our favorite fleece we've ever spun. That's fun. There's so many. All the things we've done. Yeah, that is, unless we get distracted again and completely forget this idea, which is more likely.
No. Oh, that idea, the idea of show and tell.
Uh-huh.
You know, that's Dalton's favorite day at school, is show and tell.
That was a great day at school. Every day was a great day at school when it was show and tell day. Unless you have social anxiety and you didn't want to get there and tell everybody. Then it was really bad. That was not good.
You know, this looks like a sandpiper more than a...
It does. Right now, it is totally a sandpiper. Like, you could make it into a sandpiper. It'd be so cute.
Can I make it into a sandpiper?
Does there are no
give
rules.
Me permission to make it into a sandpiper? Because it totally looks like a sandpiper.
It totally looks like a sandpiper. It is a sandpiper.
We have sandpipers. Now I have to look up a picture of a sandpiper.
We will find you a picture of a sandpiper. It does awesome. Look like a sandpiper.
Okay, so all we're right. going to sign off on our audio listeners.
Yep.
And we will show you what the bird should have looked like and what the bird will look like when we're done.
Right.
So.
And we will see you, or we will continue going, hang on, we're going to sign off. We have to do this in order here.
Right.
See, I'm going to start our music in.